moving our way through the life of Moses. Lesson 7. Lesson number 7. We're now in the book of Numbers. Last time we were in the book of Exodus, we studied the law of God. We talked about the purpose of the law and how God gave Israel His law to guide them. It was their constitution. It was to lead them and direct them. And we also talked about the law's impact upon us as a believer. We live under grace, yes, but the law still applies in many realms. The moral law of God still applies. And we also talked about how the law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. That's what first exposed us of our sin. A person can't be saved unless they know they're lost. And a person won't know they're lost until they stand up to the law of God and realize, wow, I'm a sinner. Because oftentimes people get this idea, I'm not a bad person, I'm okay, I'm a good person, I do nice things. But when you really look at the law and you really apply it for what it means, and how Jesus even took it to the next level when he said, yeah, you've heard it said, thou shalt not commit murder, but Jesus said, if you're angry in your heart at somebody, you're guilty. And Jesus took all those commandments and said, they're not just external, but they're internal. So we looked at that. So now Israel has the law, and now they are moving on. They're moving towards the promised land. That's the goal. Let's not forget what Israel's doing. They got out of Egypt and they're heading to the promised land. So now we're going to see what happens. And you see the title, A Negative Attitude. So you already know it's not going to be a good situation. A negative attitude. And this is the introduction. Complaining and criticism are two sins which stem from the same root. A negative attitude. So the first blank is negative. It's a negative attitude that causes criticism and complaining. These are the opposites of thankfulness and praising, which both stem from the same root, a positive attitude. So really, it's all about your attitude. And your attitude determines your outlook. Your attitude determines what you do in life. So we have two sides of the coin. You have the negative attitude where there's complaining and criticism. Then you have the positive attitude where there's thankfulness and praising. Of course, we know which one God wants us to have. All right, it's easy to tell that. But Israel is going to not do that. Israel is going to follow the negative attitude. So let's start with number one. Dealing with complaining. Complaining. Numbers chapter 11, verse 1. It starts right off in verse 1. And when the people complained, That is a very common sin of mankind. And it doesn't just apply to unbelievers, because believers are just as guilty of this sin, complaining. These are God's people we're talking about here. We're not talking about the heathen Canaanites here. We're talking about God's chosen people, the Israelites, who've just been redeemed from Egypt and who just received God's laws. And what are they doing right after all that? They're complaining. It says that when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. So we know right off the bat as well how God feels about this. And it says, and the Lord heard it. Please realize, God hears your complaints when you make complaints. God's listening. And the Lord heard it, and His anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them, and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. So God was very displeased and destroyed some people because of it. So letter A, God is displeased when His people complain. That word is in verse 1, displeased. God is displeased. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, you don't have to turn there. It's a short verse of the Bible. I'll read it to you. But it makes it very clear what God wants from you and I as His people. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the Bible says this, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's God's will for your life, to be a thankful person. Not just on Thanksgiving Day. All right, all the time, thankful. And it says, in everything give thanks. It doesn't mean you give thanks for everything, because you're not, for example, if you get a flat tire on the interstate, you're not necessarily going to be happy about that, okay? But you can still have the right attitude in the difficult times, all right? And you can find things to be thankful for in those situations, okay? You can be thankful that you have a car, all right? And that, you know, some folks may not even have a car that they could get a flat tire on. So, you know, there's always something to be thankful for. So you know, not everything you're going to be happy about, but you have to be thankful. Now, who are these people that are complaining in Numbers 11? Verse 2, the people cried unto the Lord, unto Moses, and said, and then it says, Moses prayed for them, and the fire was quenched, and the place was called Taberah. But look at verse 4. We have a group that's called the mixed multitude. The mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. Oh, they're reminiscing about all that food they ate in Egypt. So, first of all, this mixed multitude, letter B, a group of people were undecided in their allegiance. Undecided people. This mixed multitude. And many people believe that this was some Egyptians even that joined with Israel to leave. Think about it. The Egyptians saw the 10 plagues happen before their very eyes. Undoubtedly, some of them woke up and said, wow, we want to be on the God of the Hebrew side because our gods aren't doing a thing. Remember, all the Egyptians, they worshipped all these gods, multitudes of gods. And God disproved every one of them by each of the plagues. And I'm sure some of those Egyptians woke up and said, wow, I better get on the right team here. And they joined. But when they got out of Egypt, all of a sudden they begin to have second guesses, second thoughts. Did I really make the right decision in leaving? I remember all the great food I had, and now here we are in the middle of nowhere, and there's nothing good to eat out here. What are we going to do? And they're beginning to question their decision. And that happens sometimes when a Christian makes certain decisions. They begin to second guess it because the devil wants you to second guess the decisions you've made. Oh, you didn't make the right choice. Why did you decide to do this? You would have been better off back at such and such a place, or you would have been better off doing this and that and the other. And the devil causes us to be undecided. Letter C, we must make a decision about who we are going to serve. You have to decide who you're going to serve. You can't be wishy-washy, as they say. The book of James says, he that wavereth in his faith is like, it's just like a wave tossed to and fro, back and forth. One minute in favor of it, the next minute on the opposite side, and you're back and forth. You have to make a decision. And this mixed multitude, they're second guessing their decision. All right, and it says the children of Israel also was a part of it in verse 4. So it wasn't just the mixed multitude. The Israelites joined in, and they're all complaining now. They're all complaining. Now, here's the interesting thing. They remember, the Israelites are complaining, they remember the food. They forgot about the slavery. They were slaves in Egypt. All right? They weren't having a good time in Egypt. Remember, they cried to God and said, God, please deliver us from this bondage. And God did. Now they want to go back. So letter D, it is easy to forget certain parts of your past while desiring others. You know, you think about the one part of your past life that you think is nice and good, and oh man, I miss that, I wish I could still do that. But you forget about all the misery, the guilt, and the bondage, and all the other sorrows that you faced in your past life. See, the devil causes you to forget that part. Every once in a while, maybe a believer begins to desire certain things from their past life. Oh, you know, I remember when I used to hang out with the guys and this and that, and oh, we had such a good time. But you forget about the guilt. You forget about the next day waking up and feeling like garbage, and you forget about how it tore your family up, and you forget about all that, right? See, the devil has a way of masking things, and he tries to deceive us.
I wish I could go back
and change everything I did. And that's what it should be. You know, we should wish that we had more time to serve God for those that got saved later in life. But the devil sometimes tricks us. So these Israelites, they're forgetting, hey, you were slaves. Letter E. What was the root problem here? Letter E, it was discontent. Discontent. This is the real problem here when we complain. When you and I complain, it's us saying to God, God, I don't like what you are giving me right now. I don't like the job you gave me, God. I don't like the house you gave me, God. I don't like the food you give me, God. I don't like the clothes you give me. And we complain about things. We're basically telling God, God, I'm not happy with what you have given me. Because look at verse 6. Here is the problem. Look at what they say. But now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all beside this manna. Who gave them the manna? God did. That was that special, miraculous provision from God that every morning when they went outside, there would be this bread-like substance on the ground that they could gather, just like there's dew on the ground in the morning. With that dew would have been this wonderful bread-like substance that they could cook in any way they wanted to, prepare in different ways, and they're complaining, oh, all we have is this manna. Never mind being thankful God was feeding them. God, you know, could have let them starve, but he didn't because he loved them. And it says, oh, this is just manna. Look at, and it describes it, verse 7. It was like coriander seed, and the color thereof is the color of bdellium. Verse number 8, and the people went about, they would gather it, and they would ground it in mills or beat it in a mortar, and they could bake it in pans or make cakes of it, and the taste of it was like the taste of fresh oil. Verse 9, and when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. So this, they could have prepared it in any way they wanted, but that wasn't good enough for them. They needed more. They didn't like that anymore. They got tired of it. Discontent. Discontent is an unthankful, complaining attitude. And now with verse 10, Moses hears it. And it says, Moses heard the people weeping throughout the families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly, and Moses also was displeased. And now listen to Moses in verse 11. Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? He's talking to God. And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Letter F. Complaining is contagious. Complaining is contagious. You start complaining, and then the person next to you starts complaining, and then the next person starts complaining, and before you know it, the whole group is complaining. Even the leaders are complaining now. Moses is complaining. God, why did you give me these people? Well, this is too much of a burden for me. This isn't right, Lord. Now Moses is complaining about his position. Complaining is contagious. It's like a disease. And that's why in our church we have to be so careful that we don't complain. Alright? Because it spreads. And, you know, these people are complaining and now these people are complaining. And before you know, the whole church is complaining. And you want to see a way where God removes his blessings? Is when you start complaining. God will just turn off the blessings. He says, you're not thankful with what I've given you. I'm not going to give you more. That's like a child who, you know, you buy them some toys maybe for their birthday or something, and I don't like these toys. I don't want this. Well, you're not getting anything else. As a matter of fact, I'm going to return them and you have nothing if you're going to have that attitude. Right? Because then that's what we are with God. And if God looks down and says, oh, you're not even thankful for what I've given you, God says, well, I'm going to take what you even have. So complaining removes the blessings. All right, Brother John?
Also, to a main critical standard, like some people might not like certain standards that some people have.
Sure. It doesn't mean you're going to like everything. All right. This doesn't mean that we always agree with everything, but we just learn to maybe deal with certain things, and we just learn to, okay, I don't like this, but I'm not going to complain about it. You know, we could take that road. You know, I might not like certain things. Listen, nobody has the perfect job where they love everything about their job. There's always going to be maybe, you know, certain things about your job that you don't like, but you're going to have the attitude as a believer, and if you're walking with the Lord, you're going to say, but I'm thankful for my job, so I'm not going to complain. I'm thankful I have a job, so I'm not going to complain. I might not like certain things, and you can pray about those things, but you're not going to complain about it. That's the right attitude. Same thing with church. There's no perfect church. All right? And sometimes, hey, we're all human. And there might be certain things that you might say, well, you know, I don't really like that thing that's happening, or I don't agree. Listen, if we're right on the Bible, okay, if we got the Bible right, and you know we're doing the right things as far as serving the Lord, those other little preference issues shouldn't matter. They shouldn't eat you up where it's like, oh, you let it go. Now, if a church gets off this book, well, then yeah, then you got real problems. But if we're right on the book and we're serving the Lord together, we put aside our petty preferences and we don't complain about it. Now, letter G, you know what? Being a spiritual leader is not a glamorous job. Moses did not have a glamorous job. You know, we all look at Moses and he's a great hero of the faith. And we all should want to be like him because he wasn't perfect, no, but he was a great leader. And he was a very meek man. We're going to see that in the next chapter if we get there, hopefully. And he was a meek man. He was a good leader. But I don't think any one of us would want his job. I don't think any one of us would want his job, leading 2 million complaining Israelites through the wilderness. I don't think you or I would want his job. He's a famous man. And, you know, we all would desire to have the fame of Moses. Oh, man, I mean, how many people are more well-known than Moses? I mean, even non-believers know who Moses was, you know, Moses. But he did not have a glamorous job. He had a very tough job. Spiritual leaders have a tough job. Heartache. Because they're dealing with people. And people have heartaches. And people fall away, and people complain, and the spiritual leader has to deal with all that. So, being a spiritual leader is not a glamorous job. Now, verse 12. Moses is still complaining. Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father beareth the sucking child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? Whence should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. Moses is complaining to God. And you know what he's doing here, letter H? Discouraged, Moses took more upon himself than God intended. He's discouraged and he takes more upon himself than God ever said. God never told Moses to feed 2 million people. God was doing that. And notice what he says in verse 13. He says, God, where am I going to find all this food to feed these people? Well, Moses, I never told you you had to feed all these people. Why are you worrying about that? And sometimes spiritual leaders get discouraged, and they can take more upon themselves than they should. Certain things you have to leave in God's hands. And that's true in all of our lives. Sometimes we get upset about certain things. We might get upset because maybe somebody's not living for the Lord like they should. Maybe somebody in our family. You can't control that. You can direct people, you can encourage people, but you can't force anybody to love God. You can't force anybody to serve God. Don't let that be a burden on you. Yeah, pray for them, but don't let it discourage you. Don't let it depress you. It's not, you know, you can't force it. And maybe other things in the church, or maybe in your own personal life, and, you know, certain things you want to make happen, but you can't. And Moses was taking too much upon himself. So in verse 14, he says, I am not able to bear all this people alone. It is too heavy for me. He was overwhelmed. Everybody gets there. Overwhelmed. I can't do this. But letter I, God never gives us more than we can handle through His power. God never gives us more than we can handle. Now, it's through His power that we can do it. But God will never give you more than you can handle. But Moses is discouraged. He's upset about things. He even says in verse 15, you talk about the depths of despair. Here's Moses, the man of God. He says in verse 15, and if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of thy hand. If I have found favor in thy sight, let me not see my wretchedness. I'm not even worthy to do this, and I'm a wretched sinner. He recognizes sinfulness and says, God, just take me out of this world. But God wasn't done with Moses, so thankfully God doesn't answer every prayer. Okay? If God answered your every prayer, you'd be in trouble. Because certain things you shouldn't have. Certain things God says, no, I'm not done with you, Moses. So the Lord in verse 16 says, Moses, you know, it's like, all right, Moses, calm down. He says, gather unto me 70 men of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there. And I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. Moses, you need helpers? I'll give you helpers. You see? So certain things you ask for, and God will give you. Everybody could use a helping hand, right?
Yeah.
Sure. And I don't think Moses should have to handle it all himself. We discussed, I believe, already about Jethro's advice and how he had... So, you know, Moses was just discouraged. And sometimes you just need a helping hand, and God will send you a helping hand. Just pray for it, right? Jesus himself said, pray ye therefore, right, of the Lord of the harvest, to send forth laborers. That's what we need to pray for. We need more laborers.
There's an old saying that says, sometimes God punishes a fool by answering his prayer.
Yeah. He could. Be careful. And you know what? We're going to see that actually in this lesson. Be careful what you ask for. So Moses, though, does get the extra help. Now in verse 18, if we skip a few verses and we go down to verse 18. Numbers 11:18. God says to Moses, say unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt, therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Notice, God says, you want flesh? I'm going to give it to you. Verse 19, ye shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month, until it come out your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you. This is God speaking. Because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? Wow. God says, okay, you want it? You're going to get it. You're going to get so much of it, you're going to be sick of it by the time you're done. See, be careful what you ask for. And when you complain, God might just grant your request, and you might get what you think is the best thing, and it might end up being the worst thing. So that's letter J. We need to curb our desires. Curb your desires. Because the rest of it says, you might just get what you want, and it might not be what you thought it would be. Too much of anything is not good, is it? Everything should be in moderation. Always comes with a price. Look at Psalm 106, verse 15. Let's look at Psalm 106, 15. You know, everything always comes with a price. Here's the price in Psalm 106, 15. Yeah, they got their meat. God's going to send them quail. They're going to get that meat. They're going to be all excited. You're going to see their excitement, actually. Over-excitement. But look what happens. Here's the price. Psalm 106, verse 15. Maybe somebody would like to read that for us. See that? Because verse 14 talks about how they tempted God in the wilderness. And verse 15, God says, and God gave them their request. They got all the meat, but leanness in their souls. They weren't strengthened spiritually. Now, they got what they wanted for their flesh, physical meat, but spiritually they were dried up. And that's what we mean here. Now, if we go back to chapter 11 of Numbers, look at what these people did when the meat came. Numbers 11:31. We're skipping a few verses here just to stick with the story. Numbers 11:31, and there went forth a wind from the Lord, and brought quails from the sea, and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side, and as it were a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, and it was 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. This was like thigh deep worth of birds. Verse 32, and the people stood up all that day, and all that night, and all the next day, and they gathered the quails. I mean, they were going crazy like it was a shopping spree, you know? Like you had 30 seconds to run through the store and grab as much as you wanted. All the people are running and grabbing, and it says at the end, or in verse 32, they gathered the quails. He that gathered least gathered 10 omers, and they spread them all abroad the camp for themselves. The average books say here, the average amount that each person gathered of meat was somewhere in the neighborhood of 60 to 80 gallons. Who's going to eat that much? So letter K, Israel was guilty of gluttony. They're so selfish. Gluttony. G-L-U-T-T-O-N-Y. I hope that's how you spell it. I didn't look that one up. I believe that's how you spell it. And you know, they are guilty of gluttony. They're gathering so much. They're just going crazy like they've never eaten before. And they're being selfish, just thinking about themselves. And what happens? You think the Lord is pleased? Look at verse 33. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, before they even had time to chew it, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against his people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. And they called the name of the place Kibroth Hattaavah, which means graves of lust. These people were killed by God because of their lust, greed, selfishness. All of this stemming from that complaining, negative attitude of what I want, and I don't have what I want, and I'm not happy, and I want this. And they got what they wanted, but they were so gluttonous and so selfish, God just, that was it. You see, the me first attitude. And that's not what God wants from us. So these people, they were guilty of complaining, and which led to other problems. So complaining, it's a negative attitude sin. And you and I, we need to be thankful. The Bible says so much about thankfulness. Now, number two, and Numbers chapter 12 is a shorter chapter, so number two, as we finish up, dealing with criticism. Here's another twin sin, criticism. These twin sins of complaining and criticism, they both come from a negative attitude. One leads to the other. Complaining, I don't like this, I don't like that, which leads to criticism. I don't like how they do this. I don't like what this person did. I don't like how they did that. So in Numbers chapter 12, verse 1, here comes Moses' brother and sister, Miriam and Aaron. These are Moses' brother and sister, his own flesh and blood. These aren't just strangers that appear in the scene. These are Moses' siblings, it says in verse 1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. Now, this is interesting. This is one of those subjects in the Bible where we're not given a whole lot of information. And most people believe that this was someone else besides the woman that he married out in the wilderness of Midian years before. It's a very odd, Moses' family situation is very odd and different. The Bible doesn't say much about it. Moses' first wife's name was Zipporah. We don't read much about her. We read about her, of course, when he marries her, and then we read about them being in the wilderness, and of course he has two children with her, Gershom and another son he has with Zipporah. And we know that Zipporah got very mad at Moses that one time over the whole issue of circumcision. Zipporah did not like it. So she had problems. And then when Moses goes to Egypt the whole time, she wasn't there. She was away. So they were separated for a long time then. And then we kind of read with Jethro that she came back to see him, but then we never hear of her again. So it's kind of a mystery. And then all of a sudden we come to Numbers 12 and we read about another. So some people think that maybe Zipporah died and Moses got remarried. Or some people think that maybe Zipporah just didn't like what Moses was doing and didn't want any part of it and went back home with her dad. We don't know the story. So whatever the case, Moses did marry this Ethiopian woman, and most people believe that this is not Zipporah, somebody else, and he was criticized for it. Letter A, those in leadership will always be scrutinized for their every move. Those in leadership are under closer scrutiny. That's why those in leadership have to be careful about everything they do. You know, they have to think about what they do all the time, those that are in positions of leadership, because, you know, they have to think to themselves, well, if I do this, what will the people think, you know? And every move of a leader is criticized. And letter B, as we just discussed, Moses seems to have married another wife after Zipporah. Whether Zipporah was dead or not, we don't know. So Moses seems to have married another wife. And Miriam and Aaron didn't like it. they criticized Moses. All right? Now, if Zipporah indeed was no longer living, he had every right to do this, and they shouldn't have criticized him. But we don't know the whole story, so we really can't say for sure. Now, verse 2. They had a problem, though. Their real problem is in verse 2. It's not really the wife that he married. That was like the surface thing. Here's their real problem, verse 2. Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? You know what they're saying? Why does Moses think he's so special? He's the only spokesman for God. You and I speak for God too, because Aaron was the high priest and Miriam in the Bible is called the prophetess. So she's saying, why does he think he's such a big shot? Did Moses think he was a big shot? No, the Bible says Moses was meek. But they didn't like his authority, and that's what they have a real problem with, letter C. Moses' siblings were having a problem submitting to his authority. They didn't like it. You know why? He was the younger brother. Older siblings don't like listening to younger siblings. That's just the way it is. The older brother doesn't listen to the younger brother. It's just, that's the pecking order in the family. The older siblings say what goes, and the younger have to listen, because I'm the older brother. And they didn't like his authority. He thinks he's such a big shot. He's God's spokesman, and he thinks he's the only one that can speak for God. And they're criticizing, but look at the last few words of verse 2. And the Lord heard it. Look at verse 3. This is God's commentary on Moses. Now, the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. That's put there on purpose by God, verse 3. That's a little side note. You see, it's in parentheses in your Bible. It is in mine, in parentheses. That's God's little sub-note to you and I, letting us know that Moses was not a big shot. Moses didn't walk around saying, yeah, listen to me, I'm the big guy around here, you better listen. Moses was meek, humble, he was an average guy. Remember, Moses didn't even want this position. Remember at the burning bush? Moses didn't want to be the leader. He said, God, you got the wrong guy. I'm not a good speaker. You don't want me. And God said, no, you are the guy. And he submitted. Letter D. We feel we are more deserving or better qualified than those in leadership above us. If you were honest, you would agree with that statement. I'm not going to ask you to share personal testimonies, but you surely have thought at some time in your life, maybe you had some fool for a boss, and you're thinking, this guy, I could do a better job than him, and you probably could. But you know what? It's God's order. God put that person there for you to submit. But we get this attitude, I could do this job better, I'm more qualified. But letter E, Moses was very meek. Moses was very meek. Because in when we get to verse number, let's see here. God, of course, speaks about Moses in verses 6 through 8. He says, hey, listen, Moses is my chosen man. And God was upset. And in verse 10, we're just finishing up this story. Verse 10, Miriam became a leper. Leprosy. Flaking of the skin. Losing of fingers and ears and nose. And it's a terrible disease where your body falls apart. Miriam got leprosy because of her sin. So letter F, it is God who chooses people for positions of leadership. Realize that. You may not like them all the time, but God chose them over you. And you just submit. It is God who chooses people. And you and I, letter G, we need to beware of speaking against those in positions of spiritual leadership in particular. We're talking about spiritual leadership. You and I need to beware of speaking against those in spiritual leadership over us. Be careful. That doesn't please God. David had the right attitude. David didn't like Saul. We studied the life of David in here. David didn't like Saul, but he said, I will not touch the Lord's anointed. I'm not touching him. Let God touch him. I'm not touching him. All right? So beware of speaking against those. Letter H, as Matthew Henry said so well, Miriam's foul tongue is justly punished with a foul face. Her foul tongue, criticizing her younger brother, who God chose to be the leader, is now punished with a foul face. Leprosy. And this was a very, you talk about a shameful, embarrassing disease. You had to hide your face. You couldn't go out in public. You couldn't mingle with people. It was a contagious disease. You had to be separated. You had to be quarantined. And letter I, she was publicly shamed for her private remarks. Isn't that interesting? She was publicly shamed for her private remarks. And this is the same Miriam who in Exodus chapter 15 led the ladies of Israel in praises to God. She was a spiritual leader that all the women looked up to. Wow, Miriam, Moses' sister, she's a great woman of God. And now she's shamed and she has to leave the camp of Israel for 7 days. Now Moses prays for her if you read the rest of the story. Moses loves his sister. He doesn't say, ha, you got what you deserve. Dare criticize me. No, Moses says, Lord, please heal my sister. I love her and I don't want to see this happen to her. Please heal her. Moses, what a man. He loves his sister. He's not proud. But Miriam was humbled. She lost credibility. Interesting. As we close, nothing more is said about Miriam until Numbers chapter 20, verse 1, where we read that she dies. She seems to have lost all her credibility. And you know, that's what a negative spirit will do to you. And a foul speaking and complaining and criticizing, and it discredits your testimony. And boy, may you not complain and criticize with God's people, and may you never criticize and complain with unsaved people. Imagine, you're trying to persuade somebody to become a Christian, and all you're doing is complaining about it. That's going to really make somebody want to become a Christian, if all you do is complain about it. So let's pray, we're out of time. And also, as we close, one more note. This sin of Miriam's affected the whole nation, because if you read at the end of the chapter of Numbers chapter 12, Israel couldn't go forward until she got healed. It stopped the whole program. For a whole week, they had to stay waiting for Miriam. And you know everybody was talking about it. You heard what happened to Miriam? You heard? God made her an example. And you don't want to be an example like that. All right, so let's close in prayer, and we'll ask Brother Anthony, if you'd close us in prayer.